one of the projects at that time, if I can jump ahead, it was St. Patrick's Church in Oklahoma City.
Yes.
That was unusual in many, many ways. The client, Monsignor Donald Connelly, Monsignor, an honorary term, is given to some priests between the ages of 50 and 60, probably. And Monsignor hired us without ever interviewing us, just on the strength of a mutual friend. So we began our work making diagrams of the relationship between the altar, the baptistry, and the people. How many different configurations could we come up with that would satisfy some of the changes in liturgy or Catholic worship that would come out of the Vatican Council in 1965. So we were on this business of making the diagrams when I got a call from Monsignor one day. He said, "I'm in Mexico City, and I'd like for you to come down here. There's a structural engineer named Felix Candela, and I want you to see his work." And I said, "Monsignor, we're very acquainted with Felix Candela. He has an international reputation. What he was doing, he was working with hyperbolic paraboloid, which is like a saddle curve in both directions. This enabled him to use concrete Austin compression. So he was able to span pretty good spaces with thin concrete in rather sculptural forms." But I told him we already had a structural engineer. Monsignor was very persistent. And about a week later, he called and said, "There's a plane coming from St. Louis to Tulsa, Oklahoma City, to Houston, to Mexico City. And I'd like you to be on in 2 days because we're going to go to Mexico City together to see Candela's work." So I kind of knew who the structural engineer was going to be at that point. It had been decided. We went, and we met with Candela for breakfast the morning after we got there. He was a very impressive guy. He was probably in his mid-50s, and I was 20 years younger. And he was very continental. He had black hair and black tailored suits and a black Mercedes. He had come to Mexico City from Spain after the Civil War because he had been on the wrong side. But we finished our breakfast, and then I, rather naively, pulled out my diagrams for how the church might be configured, some of the different opportunities. And he looked at it and he said, "I don't believe this is the right direction." I turned over the diagrams, picked up a pencil, and I quickly drew the form of a foot. I said, "We want to start with the foot. And when the foot is right, we want to put leather around it, and we want to call that a shoe." And he said, "I start with the shoe and want to put the foot into it." So we thought that was a point of departure. We didn't argue that point, but I think we understood each other very quickly in the period of 30 minutes. Then we went to see a couple of churches that he had been involved in. One of them was terrible, and the other was nice. What really turned us on, we went to see a warehouse where he had used the same structural system. I later began to call them umbrellas, a large roof surface supported by a single central column. I was very impressed by those structures in the warehouse. And then we went to one of these very, very large open-air markets in Mexico City where it used similar structural methods to provide shade, permit breezes to come through, but serve once again as umbrellas in the market. Then we went to a place for lunch. I think it was a kind of a botanical garden called Xochimilco. And it was beautiful, heavy vegetation, little canals through it, people in canoes. He had done the restaurant there, and it was really a very, very good building, concentric building. Then after lunch, we stepped out veranda there to overlook some of the scenery. Candela pulled out a piece of paper from his pocket, and he said, "St. Patrick is the name of the church," and Monsignor said, "Yeah." Candela said St. Patrick was very important to Ireland because he used the shamrock in its three parts to explain the Blessed Trinity. Monsignor acknowledged that was right. Candela said, "I think the church should be in the shape of a shamrock." And I didn't even stop to think. I just said, "Monsignor, you've hired the right architect and the wrong engineer, or you've hired the right engineer and the wrong architect." And that really shut the conversation down. So we went back to Tulsa, Monsignor to Oklahoma City. Next Sunday, I wanted to go over and meet his parish. They were holding mass or religious service in a very small gymnasium, which was part of an elementary school. It was the first building on a rather large site. And I was talking to one of the guys after church. I said, "It was pretty crowded in there. You have service at 8, 10, 12, and 5. He said, "Yeah, it's really crowded." He said, "During the spring, when the weather's nice, like at Easter, we'll build a temporary wooden platform out in the grassy playground area. And then all people could come to this single service." But he said, "Then it rains." I said, I think there is a solution to that. So we went back to Tulsa, and I came up with a roof plan, 180 by 120 feet. That's about two-thirds of the size of a football field. The whole thing was supported by 12 of these umbrellas that I'm talking about that had a dimension of 60 by 30 with that single column in the middle. And then we proposed just outside this very large roof area, freestanding concrete walls that would provide privacy because you didn't want viewing from the street. And then inside this big space with these screening walls, we put a glass box. And that box was the church. It seated 500 people. Then we had an identical lighting and sound system outside this glass box so people could move from the interior of the church into this large protected area. So it would be possible to have 1,000 people, if needed, at a single service. And Monsignor accepted that design. It was kind of a simple procedure, but he had to go through a diocesan planning commission that had five priests on it, and they had to approve the design. They looked at it and said, 5-0, no. No way. And Monsignor, I mentioned, he's persistent. He quietly went into the bishop's office, explained his case. The bishop said, I would never build this church myself, but I will not stop you. So we were off to the races. Gandela never, ever liked it. To him, it wasn't a church like his grandfather's church or like he grew up with. But it did have acceptance by the people. And then the North American Liturgical Conference gave it the Cardinal Lacaro Award as the number one parish church that had been built in that year. And the Church Architectural Guild, a Protestant organization, did the same thing the same year. I don't think that's ever happened before or since. And it did receive quite a bit of publicity. The archivist for the church years later told me that it had received honors or been published, even newspapers, journals, whatever, on over 30 occasions. It was a fun project and one that we probably didn't make any money on.
But Candela did provide the structure for it, one of his warehouse structures.
And he was well paid. It was his structure.